The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 2. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Francis.
Good morning. Wow, a very happy Pentecost to you. But I wonder. When you hear the word Holy Spirit, what comes to mind? What feelings do you get? Your experience of the Holy Spirit will determine how you feel about the Holy Spirit. You may have all those feelings on the screen and even more. I was speaking with somebody recently and said, "Come on, when you hear the word Holy Spirit, what comes to mind? How do you feel?" Looked at me and smiled and said, "Hungry." And I thought, "I've got it right. Hungry. More, Lord. We can never have enough of the Holy Spirit." But our reading this morning is set in a context that is quite difficult. How do you plan for something you have no experience of? You see, these first disciples had never experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit had been on them. And why do I say that? Firstly, because they healed the sick. Remember that? They drove out demons. Jesus gave them authority, and that was enough for them to get on with. And yet, oh, the Lord bless you. That's probably God saying, "It's time you are filled with the Holy Spirit." Is it depressing? What should the disciples have known about the Holy Spirit? What should they have known about the Holy Spirit? You see, although it was a new experience, nevertheless, there were things that they should have known about the Holy Spirit. Their own scriptures told them a lot about the Holy Spirit. At the very beginning of creation, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. He was involved in the creation of all. As if that is not enough, Moses himself actually had something to say about the Holy Spirit, because one day the Spirit of God fell on 70 elders who were gathered ready to receive leadership. And as they prayed, there were two others who had been invited but did not come. They decided they would stay in the camp, and the Spirit of God fell on them, and there was pandemonium. And that good old servant called Joshua said to Moses, "My Lord Moses, stop them. They shouldn't prophesy in the camp. It's all right here where we are safe. It's all right here where we know what is happening. If they go prophesying in the camp, it could be pandemonium. They might create havoc." Listen to what Moses said. "Are you jealous for me? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Just look at those words again. "I wish they were all prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Even Moses desired that more than anything else. And that magisterium of all the prophets, Prophet Isaiah, had this to say: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." And he went on. So these disciples, they should have read that and should have been expecting that those were the days that were going to be fulfilled. Therefore, it's not surprising that Joel himself had said, "In the last days, God will pour out his Spirit." And what will happen when his Spirit comes? Ruth, are you there? You will have dreams. Really? Oh, you better start dreaming, because that is, you are right. There was a time when you had visions, but now you can have dreams because you are growing old, and it is okay. You are old, that's all right. Yes. Soon. No, you don't need dreams yet. Have visions. Have visions, because God has still got a lot more to do with you. What about me? I'll have both. I'll have dreams and visions. I'm not too old to dream dreams, but I do want to have dreams. But I also want visions. Because like Caleb of old, I want to say, when I'm 100 years old, I am still preaching the good news of Jesus. But not yet. I'm only 64. I've got 36 years to go. That's a long time. But at the Last Supper, what happened? Just imagine, they are eating and Jesus tells them about the Holy Spirit. I wonder what these disciples were thinking when Jesus tells them, "When the Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth." When he comes, he is the comforter whom I will send. I wonder what they were thinking. I wonder what they thought after Jesus rose again from the dead. And he met with them again and again. And in those days he told them, "Don't you dare leave Jerusalem. You heard me tell you the Spirit is coming. He will come. And until he comes, wait, wait, wait." And they waited. And he had already told them, "When the Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses. And this witnessing is going to go throughout the whole world." I hope you're getting excited about this, because this is what it's all about. The Spirit is not given so that we can feel nice and cozy. The Spirit is not given so that we can say, oh, isn't that lovely? What incredible peace. The Spirit is not given so that, like Zechariah in the temple, when he saw Jesus, we don't say, now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. No, he's not given for that. He is given for action. He is given that you and I may be the very hands of God. He is given so that you and I may indeed fly and ride the waves for the glory of God and for the extension of his kingdom. He is given so that we may always know he is with us always. But that first experience was unprecedented. They saw the Spirit of God descend on one another. Tongues of fire. And not only that, they became very emotional, didn't they? They became very, very emotional. And I tell you what, those who were looking on actually thought they were drunk. Not a very positive word, but actually it's only a negative word if you are sober and everybody else is drunk. That's the only time when it is a negative word. If you've had a drink and everybody else has had a drink, it's very, very different, isn't it? My sisters and brothers, let it be today that you do not find yourself like in a party where you are arriving and everybody else is drunk and you're the only one that is sober. No, get drunk. Get drunk with the Holy Spirit, because he fills you so that you may indeed function outside of your own inhibitions. Outside of your own inhibitions. My prayer is that this day he may touch us afresh. He may indeed do something that is always fresh, and that it is not something that we can say, it's business as usual. My sisters and brothers, it is true that you can live in a church that regularly says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet not really appreciate who the Holy Spirit is or what he does. It is possible. That was my experience more than 40 years ago. I came to faith, I really believe, on the 8th of November, 1970, God touched me, he introduced himself to me and did more than that. I believe he touched me with his Spirit, because I knew something happened in me. And that wasn't just a question of I had faith, no, he touched me. And yet, I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. And my sisters and brothers, that which you do not know, you cannot take advantage of. I recently saw Midsummer Murders. Have any of you watched that program? Some of you don't. Oh, well, I tell you, it's worth watching. I hope you saw the one where a bank had 20 million pounds hidden in it, and they did not know. And for 20 years, again and again, that banker, the bank manager, would go in, sit at a desk where there was this old oak, cabinet that contained 20 million pounds. He'd been given a key for it, but he was told to take care of it. Therefore, never looked inside to see what was in it. Well, all right, the money had been stolen. So really, he did not know. But when the bank is faced with closure, he finally goes and opens it. And he discovers that. And you can imagine what he says. He is so cross with himself. Because he says, for 20 years, I have sat next door to £20 million and I have not taken advantage of it. I have not taken advantage of it. I hope and pray that this day we will take advantage of the knowledge that we have of the Holy Spirit. May the Spirit of God fall afresh on each one of us. May he fall afresh in a sovereign way. May he fall afresh, calling us to be the best that we can be for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom. May he fall on us, not so that we can say it is business as usual, but so that we can say the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. This day is a day of anointing. This day is a day of anointing for the oldest and the youngest among us. This day is a day of incredible encounter. And my prayer is that this will not just be a nice idea. My brothers and sisters, I pray that this may be a personal experience. Therefore, at communion, there will be an opportunity for you to be laid hands on to receive all that God has in store for you. I'm hoping that every one of you will feel that you want to come and receive through the laying on of hands all that God has in store for you. And I'm praying that this will not be just a question of, it was nice, but rather it will be an encounter, an unprecedented encounter for you, for the glory of God and for the extension of his kingdom. I hope you are hungry. I hope you are yearning. I hope this day, this morning, is just after 9. I hope it's an encounter time. Amen.